Order. For February 27th, 2023, would you all rise for a private invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Is there any citizen input tonight that we could hear from the audience? Hearing none, we'll move on to roll call. The mayor is not here tonight. Corey Everett is out with COVID. And I don't know about Angel. Angel, are you on the call? Okay, so I'll
make a motion to excuse the absent councilman and mayor.
Okay, motion made.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda? Now, there's been one change. Oh, approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, on to the consent agenda. There's been one change. The seal, the coating has been moved. He accepted the seal coating bids have been put in and they've been accepted, and there's a change that needs to be moved to the regular agenda. So that's been done. So on the consent agenda, all we're actually going to be voting on is the railroad utility crossing.
Make a motion to accept and make consent agenda.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, on to current business. We have a presentation from PAID, Parents Against Illegal Drugs.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Good.
So we have a presentation for you guys today. That way you guys are aware that we're still here. PAID has been here for a while. And then we'll have a friend here help us out. So my name is Sandra Gomez. I'm the prevention specialist for Adams County Integrated Healthcare Services.
I'm Amanda Zapeta. I am the president for PAID.
And I am the solution coordinator. So do you guys know what PAID is? Have any of you heard about PAID? So PAID is a group of community members working together to reduce youth alcohol, drug use, and other risky behavior issues within Othello. So the PAID Coalition is a grassroots organization that began in 1985, so it's been here for quite a while. After several alcohol-related facilities within the community, a group of concerned residents came together to raise parental awareness about alcohol and drug use by local youth. And these were our initial directors. And I'm not sure if you guys recognize some of these things, so Dan and Jim Leary, Richard Bunch, Karen Peterson, and Stephen J. Philly. And then Chris Mills here and talk about things a little bit more.
So as was mentioned, PAID began in the early 80s, and it was in response to a particular fatality collision that occurred on Highway 26 and Reynolds Road. It is a county-wide organization. It's not just for the Othello community. It shares funds and programs throughout Adams County. one of the first programs that DARE wrapped its arms around was DARE. During that time, fines from the district court were able to be collected, which were then funneled to PAVE, which then, through the coalition, paid for initial DARE training, all the DARE equipment, and grassroots got it going. Some of the people involved in that grassroots stuff was Ed Bush, Bill McNeil, Barbara Anderson, Edie Boardman, oh, and the list can go on and on, John Pierre, a whole bunch of people. But all of the grants that they did, all the stuff they did was always preventative. It was always trying to catch people doing the right thing. And that was a key thing that PAVE even still does today. Some of the programs that they supported was community mobilization, pay kids. Even I don't know how many times the DARE program has changed, and they paid for the training for that. Strengthening families. PAVE sponsored a social host ordinance that city council adopted a couple years ago. Members of PAVE travel through the community and they recount retail signs for alcohol sales in convenience stores to see how they're affecting the kids there and all. We also we support and celebrate successful alcohol compliance self-contact. So our police department, we do alcohol sales compliance checks. And when we have businesses that pass those, they don't even know that they're even tested if we don't go and tell them. And so as PAVE, we go out there and we say, hey, look, on this day, you guys did it right. So again, we're catching the people doing the right thing. PAVE sponsored the Dropbox that's out here in the foyer for retail for a prescription to get rid of. That adds $0 to the police department's budget to take care of that. The bureaucracy was already there. PAVE was just able to get the funds to put that box there and get it going. We purchased portable breath testers for OHS and McFarland Junior High. We put together and paid for the facilitation of what's called PATH training, or the good behavior game for the school district, second steps. And even now, too, is the DARE program in what is called Keeping It Real. I'm a past PAVE president, been involved for many, many years. Pretty proud of them. And I want to see this thing to keep going. So I have some more information that I'm going to share with them.
Okay. So in the previous slide, it kind of talks about how we're funded and how in DPI, so it's a partnership between the Washington State Healthcare Authority, the County Human Services, the OSPI, the ESD, and the local school district and community members. And then you go to the next slide. It just tells you what areas here in Washington State are also CPWI. And then it kind of tells you like what I do as a community coordinator and what our ESD, or school-based prevention intervention specialist, does. You can go on to the next slide. And then, so our PAVE coalition consists of 12 community sectors, and all these 12 are on there for you. So we have youth, parent, law enforcement, civic groups, business, healthcare, professional, school, media, youth serving organizations, and then the rest of those three there. And then our coalition members, we participate in monthly coalition meetings. We meet every third Thursday of the month, and it's open to the public. We also participate in the annual CPWI community survey that goes on from July to November. So I'm out there and during the fair, and I have a booth, and it's just a survey of parents take on their view of what they think of alcohol and drug use here in the community. We take that information up to Washington State, and then we kind of coordinate programs that we could bring here to Othello to kind of help the youth with our alcohol and drug use. We also participate in a coalition assessment tool survey. And then every year, the middle school and high school kids take the healthy youth survey. And then that information also goes to the state, and then it lets us know what our problems here are in Othello with our youth. And then our active coalition members, so we have a president, which is Amanda Zepeda. She's our mental health clinical director, Josh Tovar, and both our SROs are our chief executive officers. They're very, very involved. Carla Mota, she's from the ESP 123. She's our secretary. And then we have our treasurer, Negri. So these next slides kind of talk about alcohol and drug use here for our youth. And their survey gets taken every, I believe, October. And then we get the results in March. So these are from last year. And then, so the high school and Denver Oasis take this. And then it kind of tells you sixth grade and eighth grade students don't take it. So our 12th and 10th graders are the ones that take it. And it tells you how many students took it. Go next. And if you want to come up here, Carla, kind of back to them. So our major problems here are drinking, marijuana use, vaping, and gang activity. So these are very cool.
So this data from the Healthy Youth Survey, I found out that we only have information for high school right now. We need access to the middle school. I have access to the high school because I work at the high school through the ESC. So we can see here in this first slide how the star ones are our students of Desert High School and Othello High School. And this was in 2021. You can see this part right there with the star is our students, the green or light blue is statewide. So we can see we're a little higher in some of them. This one is binge drinking, and then in the next one is current legal drug use. And then we have some other ones, same for the high school and the high school, marijuana use. And this is an anonymous survey that students take, so it's pretty reliable because they do have questions in there that if they just answer whatever they're able to tell by their answers. For example, there's a question of a made up drug that they have on there, and if the students say, yes, I've taken this made up drug, then they know that's not a good survey, and they may take that into account. So this survey is pretty reliable. Again, this is where I want to use for a little high school and the high school. This is just the type of substance that students reported they use through vaping or e-cigarette. So we can see there again, our students are on the left and then on the right is statewide. And then the different colors represent the different substances that they reported they use. I think we see liquid flavor. The green is that they don't know what was in it. Or the red, multiple substances. And then we have And then we have the gang activity question. There's several questions in this survey. We just took a snippet of it just to show you how much drug and alcohol use prevention and intervention is needed in our school, especially when it comes to for youth.
Okay, so we're here. So this we have a coalition, so now we need funding. So the state approved of so many programs that they have to be evidence-based or a promise plan, and with that you have to take a survey and then that way they fund you. But we're only limited to certain programs. So PAID has their own account, there's no money in it, but we like to use that money to help fund for DARE. I know as Integrated Healthcare, we helped fund DARE the last year and this year for the kids to buy their shirts, to buy books. DARE is pretty expensive. That's not including the stickers and the bears that the kids get. We also want to use that money towards parent night to talk to parents about drug, alcohol, and gang activity. Sometimes it's hard to get people out there just to come into a presentation. So these months can help bring people, like if we provide dinner and stuff like that. We also have a first aid course for young mental health kids, and it's in Spanish that Carla teaches. It's a whole day, and she it gets paid for, but when it comes to food and stuff like that, that doesn't get funded. And then I don't know what else we could use.
Sandra, could I interrupt?
Yeah.
Ask a question. I apologize. What about, or maybe it would be for AC, that course where you go in and you learn where the teenagers are hiding their drugs, or that one I think is probably the most interesting as a parent to get in touch with today's teens on where they stashing the dope.
So we will have that this year. I know with COVID, a lot of things stopped. So through the CPWI fund, we will have that this year, and it's called High in Plain Sight. We will have it at Desert Oasis in May. I forgot what date, and it's for parents, and you go in, and it's like a mock room of what a teenager's room would look like, and that way you can kind of see what they're hiding. Now we parents learn too what you can look out for. And he will also be doing a community scan, meaning he'll go all around town to the gas stations and kind of tell you what to look out for or what places here are offering for kids. And that's pretty much it. And we also have strengthening families, like Dave said. We will be starting, it's like a family program that's in 7 weeks. We will be having it this year at the Lighthouse Community Center. So it's for families for 7 weeks, and it's just a parenting class where we bring families together. We teach kids and parents how to get along and become a family.
So is Paige formally asking the city to contribute? And
yes.
Do we have an amount that's being requested, maybe?
Especially for DARE.
Right. What happened, the DARE program is on the promising list with the state of Washington. However, they're not recognizing it. So it went to Vicki's office, and they got partial funding.
Well, we basically, for our grant, we did $130,000 to support the coalition. And that includes salaries. But when we do these programs, it pays for the programs, but it doesn't pay for, like, the food. So, like, strengthening families, we can get the families there, but how do you get families there? A lot of times they don't want to come unless you feed them. And so we're having to use other funding. And it's, you know, the funding right now for strengthening families, it's like $1,000 to feed those people. And then also with the, we send about $4,000 with DARE. So I did volunteer some DARE funds last year, thinking that it was going to be an evidence-based. Well, they came back and said, no, it wasn't evidence-based. So I didn't want to come back to the city and say, I can't pay for your DARE supplies. So I paid them out of integrated health care dollars on another grant. And so it's basically the incidentals, it's the food, and what else, Sandra, and the supplies for the DARE. So $4,000 we spent on DARE.
So far, yeah.
So far, one last year, and then $1,000 for the food for strengthening families that's coming up.
So how much do you think you guys are going to be requesting? So I'll let the council know. I sit on that's one of the committees, I think, or used to be, but I still sit on it. And I've been absent, busy this winter, but for a few meetings, but it's a wonderful program. And as a parent, I'm just thankful for you guys and what you do. Because we all know, right, most of us have had kids, or some of you that have raised them up, were a challenge, especially when they start getting that curious mind. And as a parent, it's one of the biggest fears you have, especially with today's fentanyl crisis. And that's what scares the bejesus out of me, is these kids could be just having harmless fun and die. It's not like when we were kids where we had harmless fun, we took a hit off a joint or a swig off a beer or smoked a cigarette and then we went home and coughed up a lung and called it a day. These kids can die. That's that. And so I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you very much for the funding. Right now, their season is coming to a close. We'll have their graduation schedule within the next month. And that funding has been taken care of. We were able to do that this fall and next spring. That's where we're going to hit it.
So like 2 million, 3 million?
In that area. The funds that came from paid. There was also funds that came out of the police department budget to bridge the gaps and make things right. We weren't aware that the funds were going to change on us.
We didn't know
that.
5,000? In the last meeting, I think we thought 5 or 10,000, and I can't recall. What were you asking?
So just the loan, that's not including stickers and everything else. We paid $4,000 just for shirts and diplomas, and that's not including bears and stickers that the kids get.
Was there another?
Yeah.
They're familiar.
It gets pretty expensive, but
what's the total for all of them?
It's going to be between $8,000 and $10,000 for shirt around the program, and that's all five elementary. It's all the elementary, every fifth grade class out there that we have. We're in all of the schools.
Spencer, do we have any kind of funds in that arena in ARPA funds?
You know, I would suggest that we bring this to committee and we can look at different options.
Finance and audit committee?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We have to build an agenda.
What's the rush? Or, I mean, because we're looking at fall of it.
Fall of year and
fall. So we have some time.
Yes.
And we do. I would suggest we let me take this, go away, and bring back three different options. Then we can make a decision whether I spoil it.
So do you guys qualify for grant funding through the state on, you know, like law enforcement issues and things like that?
Sometimes.
Well, is anybody writing grants?
No, that's the thing. We don't have a grant writer.
Well, we do.
And so if somebody
wants to
help this, and in the past, the Adams County Network, that it dissolved like in 2012, they were the big grant writer for Othello and Adams County. They brought millions of dollars into our county, and so the page got some of those dollars.
So if somebody could put together a list of grants that might be available for this particular interest, you know, that might be something you could pass on to Sarah Montemayor, who's our grant writer, and get her working on it right away.
That's more of a long-term solution.
Yeah, that's what we
You know, maybe we can get some grant funding through the City of Othello for the students and help out in that way too. So moving forward, it's something we'll bring up in committee and then probably find the funding. Spencer's really good at that. And
I would also like to bring Sarah into this. I could suggest if there are other funding sources that you already were anything.
Yeah, there's tons of social programs because the whole other side of the state, that's all they got, social programs.
And I think the notebooks are coming out with state and federal legislators right now. So notice of funding opportunities. Sorry. So we watch this website.
See what we can pick up that way too.
Yeah.
So our next meeting will be March 23rd. It's a Thursday. John will be your guide to go to about where our location will work.
I was just going to ask you, do you guys have an active website?
We have a brochure for you guys. And then you guys can pass it along. And it's kind of like you get invited through an email. Every third Wednesday of the month we meet.
Thank you.
And Paige's also working with Jesse as well, correct? Or supporting everything up there. So
yeah.
The lighthouse.
Yeah.
And we've committed some funds to Jesse and hit that kitty and the pepper there.
Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. Okay. Moving on to 4B, awarding the chip seal project. We'll hear from Sean O'Brien.
So, Council, we had a bid opening this last week for our chip seal project, seal coat. We're focusing on arterials and collector streets, anything that has striping on it for the most part. Our low bid was, we're actually pretty happy with it, but it's a company that I haven't worked with before. So the way we did this project is trying to make sure we used as much of our budget amount as we could. We had some streets in there that we could take out if our bids came in too high. And we also had a street that we could add, Pine Street, from 7th to 14th, that we could add to the project if the bids came in low enough and we could get it in under the budget. So we have $770,000 budget for chip sealing, and also we have some grant money from Complete Streets to do bike lane on 7th Avenue and Scootney Street. And the bids came in at $695,000 change. So we have a pretty good cushion. The way the specs were written is Pine Street can be added if both parties agree to it. The contractor has showed interest that they would like to enter, they would like to include it. I can't commit to it until we have a contract and we also have your guys' approval. So, and then I'll try to get a feel from them on to our comfortable with them working. But so, in any case, what you have before you is we're hoping to award the project, but then also with that award, also give an approval to add the Pine Street work if it occurs to be in our best interest. So,
you'll do as much as you possibly can with the total amount.
Yes, and even with, like I said, Pine Street about 34,000, so that should only bring us up to 730,000. Chip seal projects, you can have overruns, underruns on your material. It all depends on what rates they shoot everything down, and that's calculated based on the street condition and the traffic volumes, and the contractor has to provide those numbers. But pretty confident we'll be able to, if we want to include it, we can include it. It's just a matter of, do I have a good feel from this contractor?
I make a motion to award the contract to Santa Fe or Sierra Santa Fe Corporation in the amount of $695,777 to stay within the budgeted amount of up to $770,000.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. So next on the agenda is 4C. Adopt a resolution amending the City of Othello purchasing and bidding policy.
Tim, should I address that now or wait until people talk about it?
Kelly, an opportunity to address the changes that are proposed here. And
everybody, are we okay, or do you want me to go up to the point? Are we all right? So, this is a revision of the purchase and bidding policy. Of course, the amounts are all established by statute in terms of when you have to go out to public bid and whatnot. And so the first bidding policy doesn't really change that. It does memorialize when you have to go out to bid and when you can't get a good direction to staff on that, as with the prior one. What the big change on this one is to streamline the awarding of contract. If the amount, currently how we operate is, even if the amount is approved, the amount of project and the amount is approved by council in the form of the budgeting process. So, for example, if you take like a construction project to do that, if that's budgeted for, as long as the amount is not more than $115,000, or the amount has been approved for that project by council through the budgeting process, then the contract does not have to come to council for approval. It would authorize the mayor to execute the contracts, provided that all the bidding law procedures have been followed. So it doesn't give staff carte blanche authority to just enter into contracts that are $115,000 or less. It just authorizes the mayor to execute the contract without having to take the formal often perfunctory step of coming to council and asking for a contract when it has already approved the expenditure and the bidding laws going forward. So that's the main impact of the purchase and bidding policy, or the changes in the purchase and bidding policy. Happy to answer any questions, but that is, I guess, in the most summary way I can describe it, what the difference between this purchase and bidding policy and what the city currently operates.
So, does this have any spin-off on the proposed legislation or that I sent? Have you looked at the change orders and contingencies, like 2.65 that I sent?
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't, because I haven't looked at the intersection of that. So I've actually talked to the statute before this. So I have been in a, outside of city work, I've been involved in a very big antitrust lawsuit. And so I haven't been able to go through that. I do have it, I have reviewed it. On my initial review, I don't see a conflict between the policy and the change order policy. Now, I do need to take a closer look. It will be taking a closer look actually this week to see if that would need to be changed at all. Right now, I don't have an opinion on that.
I think you'll find it's probably some of the best legislation you've ever seen, right?
I don't know about
that. I'm not going to say yes or no. Well, in all seriousness, it does seem to crossroads there a little bit. And what sparked the 2.65, so council knows, there were some questions last year on whether or not council needed to be presented with a change order. And I think we even brought it up when we were over in the city or the police department council chambers. on whether or not council needed to be presented with a change order in an already approved contract for approval. And our public works director is not wrong. He's not in that a standard procedure for an engineering firm or an engineer would be to go through a project, an approved project, and they would have a reconciling change order at the end of the project that would bring it below budget or above budget, but it would all be done in one and presented as a package. And then from a construction mindset and standpoint in a government entity, which I operate in my day-to-day job, change orders from the construction side would be presented to the authority or the board or the council for approval as an expenditure. And then if a reconciling change order was needed, it would be made at the end on top of that change order or all the change orders compiled. So I had composed a proposed proposed code. And I saw that in here kind of takes away from what that code would do in my mind, in my interpretation of this. I would like to see both this and the proposal to the committee, the finance and audit committee, for discussion to make sure that those conflicts don't present themselves to where we would, as a council, be giving away the authority for an administration, although approved, to spend without council authority or oversight to potentially interrupt or stop maybe a decision from being made. For whatever reason, because we do have a job as the city council to represent the city, and if our constituents didn't want a $115,000 crosswalk in an already approved crosswalk project, we would have an opportunity to represent our constituents. And so I want to make sure that that's not something that could happen.
And just so I understand, so the code provision you're talking about, the code provision, there's a code that you propose be adopted, not an already adopted code.
Yes, 2.65 change orders and contingencies.
So you can see your question is a conflict, or the not maybe not a conflict, but the interaction between this proposal and a proposal of the code change, your proposal of code change. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
So you're not talking about conflict between the policy that's before the council right now
yes.
and the existing work.
No, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the conflict between this proposed policy and the proposed code that is still on the table and waiting to be brought before the council. I think it's waiting your comments.
Okay, it's regarding change
orders. Change orders and authorities and contingencies.
So in reading the motion, this is for all non-public works contracts.
Well, it would be for public works contracts as well.
Then why does it make the statement that the contract's not exceeding $115,000 in all non-public works contracts?
Yeah.
But only if the purchase is provided in the budget, otherwise approved by the city council.
Also, which provision are you looking at?
That's right in that paragraph right there.
In the agenda memo.
Oh, this is in the agenda memo?
Yeah. So.
And not exceeding $115,000 and all that. Yeah. So it would be, it's inclusive. So you have a preliminary contract not exceeding $115,000. Those would be your public works contracts and all non-public works contracts. So the first sentence that staff recommends the city adopt new person and bidding policy is entered into contract not exceeding $115,000. That is a reference for public works contracts. So the law requires approval, specific council approval of any public works contract exceeding $115,000. Now, as long as the expenditure is approved, don't need specific city council approval for an actual contract, as long as that expenditure in that amount for that purpose has been previously approved by the council.
Unless the council set the policy otherwise, correct? That's just the guideline, the RCW is up to that, right?
What I'm saying is the RCW, what the RCW requires, of course, the city can introduce its own
requirements. As long as it meets that minimum requirement of the RCW,
correct.
We tighten it up.
Correct.
Correct.
And so I just want to make clear, the first bidding policy does not apply strictly to non-public work contracts. It applies to public works and non-public work
contracts. I found some huge value when OPD chief had presented to us, and we called for a committee meeting, and we got clarification as that the law enforcement committee, and we were able to move through actually in a more favorable fashion for what the chief was requesting after the committee meeting, because we had an opportunity as a committee to meet, discuss, ask questions, and then come back to our colleagues here on the council and say, yeah, all right, this is what I would like to see finance and not a committee meeting over this.
You have something to say, Sean.
So the $115,000, I think, is it's kind of lined up with quotes. So the quote process or even some small, but the non-public works contracts is like buying his materials, the chlorine or chairs. If there's something that's in the budget, you got money budgeted to, purchase chlorine for the water system, that contract could be signed off by the mayor and not have to come to council. And if it's under the amount that's budgeted in the annual budget.
Yeah.
So I think that's the non-public works contracts is just purchasing stuff.
Okay.
So if we have $35,000 purchasing a truck, then they go through the bidding process, get it. This gives the mayor a chance to go ahead and get that contract signed, get the vehicle purchased instead of bringing it to council.
Okay, we keep using the terminology mayor. I want to ask
it's actually the city.
I want a clarification that this is mayor, city administrator. Right now, that's the government we have today, is mayor, city administrator together.
And he would be acting as the city.
If we don't want to be changing this policy in the very near future, we need to include both. So whenever we discuss this, we need to talk about it as mayor, city administrator. And So basically, I see this being utilized to purchase, like police cars that were already budgeted to be bought. And all of a sudden, we got to pull the string. And we don't have a city council meeting for 3 weeks.
The mayor can authorize the city administrator.
There's benefit in this. And I'll just give you a little snippet of what I've put on Sean Logan's table. Is if in an instant in the code that I have, as well as I think that this would serve a similar purpose, there was an instance in which the city might go backwards. There might be some harm to the city, like a remobilization and demobilization, because we had a gap in city council meetings. The mayor administrator can make those decisions and have them ratified by the council. And we all know that Sean and his team have done a great job and could benefit hugely the city by having that latitude to be able to operate like that. I think there's a few things that need to be discussed. And I think it would be, we would be remiss as a unit if we didn't discuss it in committee. And I would like to ask the council if that would need to be a form of a motion, or the mayor pro tem, if that need to be a form of a motion to postpone this until a committee meeting could be called, had, and presented back to the council of the whole.
Well, the mayor's going to be gone all this week. So if we wanted to get this done and get this put on next week's agenda, I guess I would have to be the one that would organize the meeting to be conducted this week sometime with the finance committee, and acting on behalf of the mayor, get what your guys' opinion is. Are you looking at changing the valuation?
There's a few things in there I think I would want to discuss, and maybe in a more lengthy process.
Or do you want to go through the ordinance itself on what the expenditures could be used for?
Yeah. So, like I said, I understand that as long as it's budgeted, and I've always been a proponent, if it's budgeted and Spencer needed a new calculator, buy the calculator, it's budgeted. We talked about it. We spent a lot of time in the budget process for him to be able to operate in that fashion. But if there's things out there that were going to be a larger purchase or expenditure above $50,000, and that's a number that sticks out, and that's not a hard number, but that's just the one that sticks out. I think that even though it's budgeted, I think some of that latitude needs to be reined in, but also coincide. And it's hard for me to tell you that because I don't have that proposed legislation 2.65 in front of you right now. I've emailed it to you guys. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. But with that, you'll see that there's some things in there with change orders and contingencies that kind of bleed over into this. And I want to make sure they marry up, because the language that's in that proposal, I think, is important for the protection, or protection to battle, for the city's best interest as we move forward in contractual relationships. Most notably, it would be a public works, but it could be cars and things. But I understand the value of the chief being able to pull the trigger on police cars in a moment's notice, because we've gone through that at my day-to-day job. If we weren't able to pull the trigger, we would have lost deals on trucks that are backordered 28 months. So we had to be able to have that latitude at the East Irrigation District. But so I understand that value in those special circumstances, and I've written things into that. And I think it would be beneficial to put it on next week's agenda, delay it for next week, have a committee meeting, have everybody on board and understanding, so we can pass a policy with a clear conscience that we've done our diligence. And I would move to do that.
Mark, do you have any availability this week?
I'll have to check, but I should be on
this. What works best? I mean, John, you and Mark and Corey?
Yeah.
And we don't have Corey. Huh?
I think we can hammer it out on a Friday.
Does that work for you, Mark?
I don't think you can get it on the agenda then.
Yeah,
Tanya just put things on the agenda tomorrow tonight, 5 minutes before the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to have the meeting in the morning. Give her an opportunity to get it put on the agenda. I mean, she could put it on the agenda right now. But whatever you resolve on in your meeting on Friday would have to be included in the agenda item.
Well, yeah, and frankly, I mean, I don't know the ordinance, I guess, the proposed. I don't know what it would accept from this policy and how to make that work. But I do think that if you're trying to marry, for lack of a better term, a new city policy with an ordinance that has yet to be adopted and that is even to be adopted, maybe subject to change. And those are two different things, right? And that is actually going to be some work that I think would be hard to resolve Friday and then get on the council and have it fully considered and vetted by staff, including myself, for a Friday council meeting. So if the goal is to only pass one thing and get it right, and not have to make any other changes or adopting new ordinances or changing the purchasing policy, I think you need to move it to another council. And I don't think all the players are available to do that work by next Monday.
I presented this last year in the latter part of the year, so I think we've had the administration's had a lot of time to sit and look at that and try to marry it up to that. So I think that Sean, knowing that this was coming down the pipe, and I gave it over to him so he could take a look at it instead of presenting it and saying, hey, this is what I'd like to present, colleagues. What do you think? I gave it over to him to incorporate. So if we need to push it off to the last meeting or the next two meetings, the second meeting in March.
Okay, let's get a... We'll just put this aside for now and decide when we're going to deal with it. But let's get a committee meeting set for this Friday. I'll act as the mayor for the meeting. I'll hear your issues. And then we'll go on from there. Okay.
Does that need to be in the form of a motion? That was.
Yeah,
if Corey can't attend, I'm the backup on that one.
Ask this, then I don't think it necessarily needs to be a motion. I mean, you're gonna just put it.
I'm gonna table it.
Committee level, and I think this issue moves on without a motion to proceed, and we brought up back on the agenda.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor. So
find a time that works best for you guys in the morning. What do you think?
I'll be subject to you.
Okay, text me.
Can we let you know?
Text me and I'll talk to Tanya and we'll get it done. Get something done. Right.
John, like I said, if Corey's unavailable, I can do that on Friday.
He might be because he works that day.
Yeah. If he's back.
Mondays
to work.
Are the best time for him.
Yeah.
That day. So maybe I
did. I'm usually pretty available on Fridays.
Okay. The next item would be 4E. Which is to approve to increase the members of the fellow planning commission. Now the agenda memo is that the Planning Commission has asked for 7 members instead of 5.
good evening, Council. My name is Emma Carmona. I am here tonight as Vice Chair of the Planning Commission. And I've spoken with some of our commissioners and staff as well. We just would like some more input to the group. So we kind of discussed and we thought maybe adding two more members would be great to just bring some more diversity and opinion, you know, fill in maybe age gaps, genders, occupations, things like that. So we thought we'd bring it to you guys and see if that sounded reasonable.
So you're asking for council's approval to increase the number from 5 to 7.
Yes.
And those are appointed positions.
Mm-hmm.
So is your plan to bring appointments to the mayor? Because he's the one that makes the appointments.
I would assume yes.
Council.
So now do.
Once the appointments are made, I think it comes to.
He will come to us with the names of the people and ask us for approval.
Point of order. Council has to change the bylaw for this to happen. So our request is consideration for council to allow the change of the bylaws for this circumstance. Beyond just the 5 members is tough sometimes to create quorum in our situation, especially how we're being utilized currently.
Yes, that's what it says in the form of the motion to change the OMC.
Yep.
So when we read the form of the motion, we will read it as such. So
it still has to go to the mayor and then come to us.
Yeah. Like normal.
Yeah.
So would anybody like to form a motion?
I'll make a motion for council. It's a little bit. Council should give direction to the staff on whether to prepare an amendment to OMC. Okay, so I will make a motion to prepare an amendment to the OMC 2.21.010, increasing the Planning Commission to 7 members.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, the next item on our agenda is 4F, and that is a public hearing on the active transportation plan. So I will open the public hearing on the active transportation plan at 6:53 in this evening, and staff will give us a presentation on this. Go ahead, Ann.
Thank you. So the plan that I'm giving you tonight is the same one that you saw last time when I was introducing it. I've not made any changes. We did receive several comments during the process, including some rather lengthy comments from the Department of Transportation. And so we haven't had time to actually make those changes to the plan. So we're not actually asking for approval tonight. But we are asking you to hold a public hearing, give staff any direction of any other changes that need to be made. But we did advertise the public hearing tonight. So just kind of the recap of the public input that we've had so far. We did a survey from the last summer, got over 200 responses for that. But we did a public event at Walmart for the summer afternoon. We had bilingual staff there, some comments there. We also go down 2 mailers, one with the survey last summer, and then we did another mailer of just a summary of the plan and gave that one, have a little red box to give for people to give comments. And I gave you the timeline of what's happened, just kind of the timeline take a while. About a year and a half that we've been working on this. I did talk to the reviewer from WatchDOT today, Kathy Marie. She emailed me and then she also gave me a call. She said she would be on the Zoom tonight, so I'm not sure if she's there to check. But basically she said we've addressed all her comments. So they're fine with the direction they're going, and she did mention she thought it was a very good one.
license.
So you haven't shared the city responses in the WSDOT comments with WSDOT yet?
I did, yes.
Oh.
Yep. I provided that to her and she said, yep, you've addressed it all.
Okay.
She liked the direction we're going. So at the time I wrote the memo, I had heard back from her, but I did hear back from her today.
So you have the proposal.
Yep.
So council members, have you opened the active transportation plan and reviewed it?
Yes.
It's just a plan. It's it's what, you know, what we could do, what we could be authorized to do. Do you have any questions in regard to the plan as it exists? It's pretty extensive. So it has delineated routes of where the Planning Commission feels we could put different active transportation routes throughout the city. These would these are proposed as part of a plan.
I like that it addresses the sidewalk gaps. I think we talked about that earlier today.
Yeah.
We have sidewalks in nowhere, especially during the winter. If the sidewalks are maintained by a person with a snowfall, that gives a safe route to school for youth that walk, and instead of out on the road, which I've seen so many of them using cell phones. The Planning Commission and have been working pretty hard on this. It's a pretty comprehensive plan. And I would be in favor of directing staff to make additional changes before the final adoption in March.
Okay. Any other comments from the council? Any comments from the public? Hearing
sorry, I didn't hear John's comments.
They were all positive, so I chopped that up to a person. I said I like that the gaps, the sidewalk gaps, and safe routes for youth to walk, especially in adverse conditions such as snowfall. I like that because this winter and many other winters before, I've seen youth walking out in the snowpack roadways. And, you know, they're a hazard at that point or in danger of being struck by a vehicle. So I really like the sidewalks being included in there. And I appreciate the comments or the including it. Yeah.
I wouldn't like to make comments. That's okay. Just for explanation and understanding on this of where and why, for you guys who reviewed some areas, Chris Gorrell, Planning Commission Chairman, Earl Bello. The survey was really interesting to us because it really highlighted recreation and recreational needs, but all the answers in the word explanations were concerns about the safety. Because of that reason, we changed priorities into a safety related, very similar to what Councilman Erickson has pointed out, closing gaps, because throughout the survey, you will see people say they don't feel safe on Othello streets. So we have to find ways to make them safe. And we also thought it was important to provide recreation. The thing about this plan is it is a toolbox, but it is also important when you review it to recognize it is a prioritized toolbox, that some things are put higher on the list than others. So for your review, that would definitely be an area I would focus on. The Planning Commission changed the priorities that were in the prepared to put safety at a much higher focus, similar to what Councilman Erickson has pointed out. We need to make people safe so they can walk and they can be on their bikes. And that's kind of where we made our focus. And those are the areas that I think support that belief. But also keep in mind, Othello's not done growing. So some of the investments you could make today that may seem recreational may very well be important thoroughfares for folks to use for pedestrian and much. That's about all I got, unless you guys have any questions for what happened with council. Perfect.
All right, anyone else with any response? Hearing none, I'll close the public testimony. Anybody need any more to talk about? So, on the public hearing script, it asks for a motion, but yet on the agenda item, I see no motion.
I'll make a motion to direct staff to make any additional changes to the active transportation plan prior or before final adoption in March.
According to the DOT.
The changes would be the ones that I laid out in that.
According to the DOT comment.
Okay.
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Are we talking about the hearing on 701?
Oh, you're right. I did close the public hearing, but I didn't say the time.
That's okay. Okay.
701. Okay, next item on the agenda is to approve the purchase of Jim's Locksmith for new locks.
Hello, Council. I'm here to present. We talked about it last council meeting where we're looking to replace all the door lock cylinders in all the City Hall, Parks and Rec, Public Works, and all the parks as well. We went out and got three different quotes for that, and we were shocked to find that the differences were just enormous. I can't believe it. But I think Jim Blacksmith, they came out and looked at everything and were able to give us quote $5,558.75, and I recommend going with them. We also need an additional keypad that we found out this week for the front door. We're doing construction here with this office here. We want to put one of the keypads just like on the side door out here so that staff can go through there. We're not going to have a buzzer anymore, so people can be buzzed in. They're just going to have to use a keypad code to come in. And if somebody from outside of our agency wants to come in, we have to open the door for them. So to add that keypad, and we have that. Replace the crash bar on there as well. We also have to fix the crash bar on the judge's door, on the outside door here. We got a quote for that for $2,573.40. And with that, I'll take any questions.
So do I hear a motion from the council?
So there's two items
for a total of 8,000.
8133.
Thank you, Spencer.
Can we make a motion with it together? Do I have to make it separately?
I think you can make them together. We have the total. Yeah.
Again,
8132.
It's two motions?
Yes.
So I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of Jim's Welcome Service for $5,558.75 to replace the locks throughout the city. Can I also make a motion to approve the additional one
at a time? Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
I'll make the motion again to approve the additional CPAD / crash bar and repair to Judge's crash bar for $2,573.42.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is to approve contracts with Western Display Fireworks. So we're going to make motions on two different contracts. First contract would be for the fireworks on July 4th for the cost of $15,000. The second contract would be for $10,000 for the Western Display fireworks at Christmas.
I've got a quick question. I see that, you know, we've got two different contracts. In the past, we've had one contract and usually they give us extras for the amount that we're getting. Are we still getting the extras for the two different contracts?
I got this from Mayor on Thursday. He didn't mention that to me, but
okay.
The last couple of years, we've had two contracts.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, we've also had two different, but she's saying that there was additional.
Yeah, like if we, usually if we got $15,000, they gave us another additional amount. So it was a bigger show.
Yeah, when I was on
I didn't have the opportunity, and shame on me, to compare this against last year's contract. Well, with costs going up, is $15,000 going to be enough to put on the same show or an equivalent show? What the cost being what they are.
That's kind of why I'm concerned about the extras.
And so I they do a great job of detailing out, but I honestly I didn't have an opportunity to go back and find last year's or the previous year's to compare against. What are we getting, some black cats or snakes and sparklers for this year, and you know, versus last year? Would it be amenable if we revisited it, if we found out that there was a potential need to increase funds? I mean, would that be amenable?
I think that's,
I say we can, in my opinion, would say we vote on it this evening with an open mind that if there was a need for increasing funds,
we definitely don't want to go down in display.
It's drawn a heck of a crowd the last few years, especially our Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be amenable to that.
On their presentation, they list the assortment of the package. Whether or not you count every one of those and then count the ones that were used before, I don't know. We're just assuming it's the same thing that they presented before. And hopefully none of us have been privy to the discussions or the contract. We're hoping that it stays the same.
I would, Mayor Pro Tem, I'd make a motion to approve the $15,000 for the 4th of July show, so we can lock that in.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I'll make a motion to approve the contract with us Western Display Fireworks for the 2023 The Christmas Miracle on Main Street event in the amount of $10,000.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, did you make a note, Tass? make sure that it was here.
And also, Mayor Pro Tem, just one thing before we close out this section of the agenda, I know on the last item, but if the council wanted to, I mean, I have taken some time while we're sitting here to just take a look at Councilman Erickson's proposed, I think it was 2.65 ordinance, which is not a current ordinance, but something that is not before the council right now, but looked at that in relation to the purchase and bidding policy, and I can give a more in-depth response to Mr. Harrison's question on whether there's a conflict between the two. And I don't know if that's pertinent to the council right now, if you just want to take it up in committee later, or if you want to hear that now, you can certainly provide that update now. That was well mentioned.
No, it's right now it's clear in our mind, so go ahead.
Sure. So just technically, so the set of provisions that you propose to add to the municipal code does not, I don't see it as conflicting with the first bidding policy. The first bidding policy has to do with playing out the contracts. The ordinance that you propose, that I reviewed, or the form I reviewed it anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, it pertained only to change orders.
It was change orders
only. And the first bidding policy had to do with letting out of contracts. So I know there was a paragraph or a sentence in there talking about contracts and change orders, which actually is one that needs to be removed. I think we have removed it. But there is no conflict between those. The first division policy does not directly address change orders. So if the council is interested in passing or approving this tonight by resolution, regardless of what happens with your proposal, whether it gets changed or adopted or in its current form, we'll know what happens there. We could say change order, we could put a provision in there, and I would say under contract authority, right in there, we could say, so under the heading contract authority, we could put just a one sentence provision in there saying change orders are to be processed in accordance with this policy in accordance with the Adele Municipal Code. We've all quickly agreed to the Adele Municipal Code. And this policy is a conflict between the two to follow the ordinance, sort of the code provision. I mean, that's one way if you wanted to do that tonight, we could bring a motion to pass it with that additional language to be added by legal counsel. And then you could consider the change order ordinance, and regardless of what happens with that, it's going to be covered. So you could pass this tonight and it'll cover whatever that ordinance pertains to or control in terms of change orders, and it would be entirely easy. It's just not before you can pass them all at the same time. It really
is there an urgency to have this ordinance in place? Sean, I guess, would be the only one here, and for Ann, but for any kind of contract at this moment that would persuade us to act swiftly on this or go to committee, or would that be fine if we go to committee?
There's just nothing pressing, but there's been nothing in place before, which I think most cities have something where not everything has to come to council to be approved. So, no, there's nothing.
Dan, with my earlier request,
to all right. Go to committee
there. Either way, I just wanted to put that information out there if you wanted to act on it.
Well, I think it would do us good to resolve it in committee and then come together as a council and get the vote that we needed. Okay.
Yep.
Item 5, is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the council? Hearing none. Is there any new business that needs to come before the council?
Yes. There's going to be a request, and I guess I would ask, would it be with the city engineer and the water, sewer, and street committee to sit and discuss irrigation water and impacts that bridges may have that are in Adams County on potential projects that the city has going currently, upcoming, and upcoming? Would that be a water, sewer, and street committee meeting that the irrigation district would send a representative to discuss, or would that be a selected group?
Probably be water, sewer, street.
I would assume, but that gets me in trouble sometimes.
You know, thinking about it, I think it would be really good to have a presentation done to the city council in a council meeting of what the whole project, you know, that you've conveyed individually to me consists of, and what the impact would be if it's not done. And then everybody in the council would be aware of what you're talking about.
And I'm happy to do something like that, or invite somebody from the district to present it. Just so the council's aware, it's not a sideline discussion. This has gone up to the federal level, working with Senator Murray, Knappwell, Representative House, and CMR, Kathy McMorris Rogers, state level, county level electeds and their staff, and many different boards and city officials in the Columbia Basin Development League for the Sustainable Water Coalition, most lakes. So it's been an ongoing discussion, very in-depth discussion with huge impacts to the region, with the problem you've had that's been going on for over a decade. So I would love to do a presentation or have somebody from the district do it, whichever was appropriate.
Let's set that up and get it on the schedule so that everybody's aware of what the issue is. That would be good. So we all received the council received the fire department report. And with there being no other business today, I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:18 this evening.
I'll twist our arms so hard next.